Good to see you guys this morning. It's great. It's nice to, if you were planning on being here just in time, you were late because of that wait out there. You know what? I mean, I'm at the age, I like my age. Now that I'm an old guy, I look back on my childhood and I think, never before did they pave roads on Sunday. You know, we always made fun of PennDOT. And I talked to someone this morning that says, I know why they're working on Sunday. Because they don't work the rest of the week. And that's not very nice. I didn't say that. I was just passing on a parishioner's, you know, so. But they sometimes, PennDOT used to have that. Anybody here work for PennDOT? Oh, phew. Okay, good. Wow. That's all right. I forgot my weapon to defend myself against them this morning. It's great to have you guys here. Thanks for coming. I'm really excited about where we're going. We just talked about the power of Christ, and some of these songs are just tremendous songs about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And what that means for believers is just incredible. And so we went through Peter, and we've gone through Revelation. We get to the end of Revelation, and it's now what? You know, now what do we... Hi. I'm seeing people that I haven't seen for a long time, or don't know anyway, but yeah, that's beside the point. I get distracted easy. No, I don't. Anyway, so we're going through the Revelation. We get to the point of Revelation. Why are you shaking your head no at me? Just because you think in an orderly fashion doesn't mean I have to. Anyway.
Move on.
Oh, yeah, you're probably wondering why these guys are up here. I've had an interesting morning, you know. I brought some help up with me today. Vicky, my wife, Bob, our pastor. Okay, my son, too. All right, but anyway, you'll understand why later. But what we're going to talk about today really needs to come from a bunch of different personalities. And I would have had more of you guys up here, but you weren't in my office when we decided this, so sorry you missed it all. But so we want to share in different personalities, but when we get through the end of Revelation, we understand what's going to happen at the end of the world. We understand the end of the world is going to come, and people that don't know Jesus Christ are going to be lost. I didn't know Jesus Christ for a time in my life, and if the end of the world would have come, I'd have spent eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. And as we know that, it behooves us, is that an all right word? It should motivate us as believers in Christ to share that message with people. So that's why at the end of the Revelation we got to this, okay, how do I share Christ? And so we're going through a 12-step program, a 12-step witnessing program. And we've gone through a couple of the steps already. And this is just really exciting to me because I think the time has come for our church. Sometimes I think I should have done this before, you know, but I think God's brought his timing right down to the fact that I'm hearing really, really cool stories. But we've been going through this 12-step witnessing program, 12 steps to help us witness or share Jesus Christ as believers. And the first one we got to do is pray. And I challenge you to pray a couple weeks ago. Start praying. Pick some people out in your life that you know, that you have regular contact with, that they're great people, but they don't know Jesus Christ. They could be nasty people and not know Jesus Christ, okay? But pick some of these people out and start praying for them specifically. That God, why do we pray? We looked at Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. It says, put on the full armor of God so you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. Understand that Satan owned us when we were born, every single one of us. And Satan still owns people, and he is taking them to hell, and we are called. I can't fight that on my own. And this whole witnessing thing isn't about me being eloquent or me being good or me having a lot of knowledge, because Satan literally owned me. And if I'm going to go up against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, I cannot do it on my own. I need to pray to ask God to help. So this is done through God's strength and not my intelligence or your intelligence. It is done through the strength of God. So before we start to share Jesus Christ, we need to spend some time in prayer, praying for God's wisdom and God's strength, for God to go ahead and start to prepare people to hear the gospel. Second thing we talked about, protocol. Our protocol is just courtesy. When we're sharing Jesus Christ, be courteous. Okay, if you look up Hezekiah 3:23, Hezekiah 3:23 is one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. It says, witness unto others the way you would have them witness unto you. We should memorize that. I see some of you with weird looks on your face. As if Hezekiah isn't in the scripture somewhere, okay? There is no Old Testament book by Hezekiah. That's just my go-to when I don't know, all right? But which isn't there, but I love the verse, even though it isn't there either. Witness unto others the way they would have them witness unto you. You know what? We're out to share Jesus Christ with lost people. And so what my thinking is I want to share Christ the way I would want Christ to be shared. I don't want someone pointing their little bony finger or pudgy hand in my face. All right? I want people to care enough about me that they're willing to step out of their comfort zone to tell me that there is a different way to live. And it's not about cleaning up my act. It's about believing that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I needed someone to tell me that. And they told me in a very good, very loving way. It was my mother. But I've had other people in my life that have cared about me enough to step out of their comfort zone and say, you want to hear some truth? So witness unto others. And so we went through a whole list of protocols, 12 or 13 protocols or just courtesies. And then we went into knowing when they're ready to talk. Step three is knowing when they're ready to talk. Okay, so we're praying for them. We're being kind. We're letting our life back up the words that are going to come out someday when we have the opportunity to share Christ. And then it's like, when do I talk? Okay, when do I know when to talk? Colossians 4 and 1 Peter 3 talk about that. Colossians 4, 6 says, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And Colossians 3, 15 says, always be prepared to give an answer, but do this with gentleness and respect. I learned that verse when I was in high school or junior high, and I learned it out of the Living Bible, and I love it. Quietly trust yourself to Christ. This is 1 Peter 3, 15, the Living Bible. Quietly trust yourself to Christ. This is what's cool about this. Because I really believe that every believer really has a desire, every Christ follower really should have a desire, and does for the most part, to share the truth of the scripture. It's just scary. We think it's got to be some great big, you know, sermon or some great big talk, and we got to know all the verses. Listen, I love this. God just says, quietly trust yourself to Christ. And if anyone asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them. That doesn't sound near as scary, does it? Quietly trust yourself to Christ. This is God's commission to believers. Quietly trust yourself to Christ. I love that. So here's what we're doing. We're listening to God speak. You want to listen to God speak to you. God usually speaks in a very still, small voice. So the first week, it was pray. Last week, what did I ask you to do? Go home and... listen to God. Say, God, who is it that you want me to share Christ with? Listen to God. For when God's behind you in a very still, small voice says, you know, I know you have desire, just wait. And God says, now. Just listen for God. Listen to his voice. Get to know him in your quiet time. Listen for God's voice. Know his voice. Understand that it is God's will for you and me to share Jesus Christ. That is God's will. It's within his will. It's not Satan's will. It's not my will, because it's scary. But the thing about listening, and now we're going to start moving on to a couple more steps. That's all well and good to pray, to understand that you're going to do it, and you get your life to back up some of the things you're going to do, and you listen to God. But when God says, now, here's the scary part. It's probably time to open your mouth and say something. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about, and today we're going to try to make this as simple as possible. I asked these guys to come up here to help me share this, so it's not just from my perspective, but you hear it from different types of personalities. So sometimes God just calls us to open our mouth and to speak. Don't let that be scary. We want to kind of relieve some of that fear right now.
So if you grew up in the church, you've heard, you're familiar with the word witnessing, right? And that, but we need to maybe stop and go back and say, where does that come from? 12-step witnessing program, what is that even about? And just so we know where it comes from, that it's coming from the Word of God, Acts 1:8, right? Do you know this verse? Remember this verse?
It says, now remember, not to interrupt or anything,
See, this is very interesting, you know, because we all like to talk. Yeah.
You have three people up here that like to talk on and on and on.
When we were talking about this, Mom was feeling like she wasn't going to have any chance to talk at all because she's like, you guys don't realize when you're up there, you just keep going and going and going.
So you think I go long? Wait till three of us who always go long in everything we do.
We're taking a lot of time talking about how long we're going to take.
I forget what I was going to say.
I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say.
So, witnessing.
This is. I warn you, this is going to be kind of like.
What were you saying, Mom?
Something about it being like what's the format? Like a workshop. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, workshop. You can say it.
So, witnessing comes from Acts 1:8, okay? So here we go. The word is right there. This is where we get this whole concept of what the church calls witnessing. But Jesus is speaking. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So if you stop and you think about the word witnessing, where else do we see that word? We see it in the whole court system, right? When someone is called to be a witness, what are they called to do? They're called to give a piece of evidence. They don't have to give all the evidence. They just have to give a piece of the evidence that they've experienced or that they have seen or that they know to be true because of their own experience, right? It's just their piece and their own knowledge. That's what a witness is do. And when a witness takes the stand, right? They take the stand, what do? They give their testimony. Do you hear these common words? A testimony is just the account of my evidence of what I've seen and experienced to be true. I don't have to paint the whole picture, just a piece of the picture. So if I'm going to be a witness, I'm going to let people know my experience with Jesus Christ and with the living truth of the gospel. But here's the thing where it breaks down is because there's not always somebody in my life saying, okay, Vicki, will you please come take the stand? Right? They're not always saying that. So I have to be watching for opportunities. I've honestly, maybe there's more times, but I can only really recall one time in my life when somebody said, Vicki, please take the stand. And that was a high school chemistry teacher. I was a lab assistant. And I was helping this chemistry teacher, and one day he stopped and he looked at me and he said, I just have to ask you a question. Why are you always happy? And that was sort of like somebody saying, will you please take the stand? For me not to walk through that door and say, hey, I got to tell you the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ gives me hope and a reason to be happy. That's where my happiness comes from. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have said something at that point, I would have been in defiance of the court, right? It was way obvious. But sometimes they're not so obvious. And that's why we need the next topic.
Yeah, I didn't understand science class much.
Oh, yeah, right.
I thought she was going to say it was the chemicals or the fumes or something.
No.
I'm so happy.
And then they were talking about it, some chart on the wall. I always thought that was a seating chart with people's initials on it, you know, where we're supposed to sit. But I don't think I did real well in that class. You know, my chemistry teacher never... He basically said, Bob, why are you always so confused? That's what I got out of that class. Anyway.
Testify.
Yeah, so... Yeah... So we have received the power. We're called to share Christ. But one thing that we want to do, and this is today's goal, I want to send you home. Be ready to watch for when you have an opportunity to witness. And one of the things that we're talking about that is we need to be watching. And I would look at it. We're watching for chances to witness. Okay, there are hundreds of them in your week. But they're very hard to recognize if we're not thinking about them. So we're watching for chances to witness. They're like for an opportunity that I could possibly share Jesus Christ. And I call them ins to sharing the gospel. Okay, that's my word. I don't know. It's not like an innie or an outie. We're not talking about belly buttons here. We're talking about ins to share the gospel. It's kind of like an open door. Okay, we're looking for an open door. One of the things we're not talking about here is the in-your-face point your finger at people, kick the door open to their life and say, burst in with this big gospel presentation. That's not what a witness does. So there's a verse in Colossians 4:3 that Paul says, and I pray for you too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So inns are like an open door. You go to someone's door, you knock on the door. You don't just, if no one answers, you don't just don't bust in. You just wait. And if they answer the door, they open the door, and you have something to say when they open the door. And we're saying, watch for those opportunities that when someone opens the door to you, you can share just a little bit about Jesus Christ. It's kind of like anticipating, if I say this, if the door comes open, I'm going to go through it. A lot of you guys do that with hunting, okay? Speaking of hunting, yesterday, but you know, you don't just go out and say, this looks like a really comfortable place to sit. All these ferns and it's so open around me, and just, no, you plan it out. You look for the spot. You're making a plan. Anybody like Shady Maple? Now, when you go to Shady Maple, great, I see some hands going up instantly, and some hands that, and some of you guys are ashamed to say, but Shady Maple, smorgasbord, you get ready to go there, and right before the day you go to Shady Maple, you eat a big breakfast and a big lunch, right? And then you go to Shady Maple early. Is that how you, no, what you do? You save up. You plan to eat as much as possible. That's the human way, all right? It's the American way, yeah. You save up. You're making a plan. Now, when it comes to sharing Jesus Christ, we're talking about somebody's eternity. And we don't, a lot of times, Christ followers don't make any plans. We just get caught off guard and say, oh, well, So we're talking about ends. You're watching, you're praying, you're watching your life, you're listening for God's direction, you're starting to recognize ends, and that's where we want to go to today.
See, you got to keep in mind, like, sometimes it's confusing because we say witnessing and being a witness, and they're kind of like two separate things. When we think of witnessing, what comes to my mind is actually sharing the plan of salvation with a person. You know, everything was perfect. We chose to sin. God gave us a second chance. We now have a choice. But that's what we would consider sharing the gospel or witnessing to somebody. But that's not the only way that we are on the stand.
And we're going to get to that in the next couple
weeks. Right, that's next week. When we say a witness, what we're looking for are opportunities to be connected with the truth, to be have our names connected with Jesus, to let it be known that we belong to him, that we're his people. And the ways, the ends that we can do that we can be connected to the Lord are limitless. There are as many as different kinds of people that there are. So what we're looking for, once you start to understand, wow, okay, I need to look for opportunities, which we call ends, to be a witness, to be connected to the truth in some way, to let it be known that I belong to God. That's what being a witness is. Once you start to see that these ends exist everywhere, that's the first step. But just seeing, oh, hey, that would have been a good opportunity, mm-hmm. It's not really the whole picture. We're all really good at that, right? Can you think of a time when you're like, well, that probably wasn't the right thing to say? You know, it's always after. You blurted it out, and then it's like, oh, that was a secret, or something like that. It's always easy to see opportunities once they're passed. But what we want to do is get to the point where we can see ends, these little opportunities, these open doors, and have a plan as to what to do, what to say in that moment. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason that you hope for the hope that you have. We've talked about this verse a couple times. The being prepared part is that, okay, I'm watching for opportunities, and when the opportunity comes, I have some kind of plan to make the most of it. You know, let's think of it this way. If something is important, potentially stressful, and potentially life-changing, don't you think it's worth planning ahead a little bit? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. And some people, this is hard for us to accept, that we can't control all scenarios. You can't design the perfect opportunity to present Christ to someone because the variables are limitless. So we're not looking for specific plans of, okay, I'm going to be sitting in this chair and they're going to be facing me and this is how I'm going to be feeling and this is they're going to be feeling and they're going to ask me, so tell me about God. That's not real life, okay? That's not a plan worth making. What we're looking for is step 5. okay, to develop specific strategies, okay, specific tactics that are ways that you can use those open doors to share your connection with Christ.
Yeah, so welcome to our Amway presentation this morning and our pyramid scheme that we're going to be talking to you guys about. When we're talking about plans, right, it almost sounds like a pyramid scheme, like we're in a business meeting here. It's not like that. Nobody gets extra credit for sharing the gospel.
No, you're exactly right, and I'm glad he said that, because we as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be agreed that this is the most important thing, the gospel, our salvation, okay? So we're not selling it, right, but it's worth talking about.
And we have hope.
And it's worth being invested in. And it's pretty much the most important thing we can do, so we had better have some kind of plan as to how to actually do it. Because if you just try and wing it, I mean, has that ever gone well? There's the Holy Spirit. He's there. But also, God is a God of order, and he gave us brains, and he gave us really, really amazing ability to take the truth that he's given us and make it actually real in our lives. So that's why step 5 is so important, developing patterns. A pattern is just a simple routine that helps you make the most of the open doors, no matter what the situation. It's flexible enough to be easy to remember, okay? And the only way that we found, that the reason we're up here is because when we talk about ins and patterns, those are just concepts until you sort of see how they actually play out. So what we want to do is just give some examples of ins that really fit with our personalities, that we like to watch for, that we use as opportunities to be a witness. Mm-hmm. And some of these are just different depending on who you are. Some of them apply to all of us. But what we want to do is just kind of go through some examples.
And please, please know our heart in this. It's not at all at any point to elevate us or to use us as some kind of shining example, okay? The goal is that you could see like, oh, I could do that. That wasn't that hard. That's the goal. Because we are all different, but we all need to watch how our life unfolds and have patterns for those opportunities.
Right, and what we want to do is to maybe just have you thinking right now, how can I adapt any of these strategies for your situation? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this look like in your life? How can you use them? Because once you build these like practices, you start to recognize the ins, you start to learn how to use them to connect yourself to the Lord, it really brings a lot of like purpose into career and life and just general human interaction. So one thing I want to say before we do the examples is that these might kind of sound to you on the surface like cheesy, or what we would say is like overly spiritual. They're only going to be that if that's how you act. When you say something about God and you have this face like, I know that what I'm saying is kind of ridiculous, what's that person going to be thinking? That's kind of ridiculous. But if you believe in what you're saying and you know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, then these things become really amazing ways to show and practice your love for Christ. So let's start with the easiest ones. Basic human interaction. These are ins and strategies that you can use with any person that you speak the same language as. Okay? What are some things that people all say to each other no matter who you are? Greetings, okay? Yeah, any kind of greetings. Not like greetings. That sounds like, except if you're an alien, I guess. But what I mean is like specific kind of greetings. So hello, but that's more like just like a statement, okay? But when people say things like, how are you? Or when they ask you, so what do you do for a living? In my mind, I always see those, and I've kind of learned to see those as ins to be identified with the Lord. If somebody says to me, so what do you do for a living? I see that as an in. And what I use my strategy there is I call it a spiritual tagline. What I'm going to say is, I'm a pastor. That's what I do for a living. I really love having the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with students. You see how that went that one step further? And now, after that, I'm not going to be like, now would you like to accept the Lord? Okay? Obviously not. All I'm doing is I've identified myself as a witness for Jesus. And the thing is, when we say, it's different, it can easily be that you would say, well, when you say you're a pastor, people take you seriously. In fact, it's actually the exact opposite of that.
Most of the time, if I tell somebody that I'm a pastor, they start to feel worse about me. Or I actually lose opportunities because of a closed off perspective of people who feel that I'm going to be treating them in a wrong way, you know?
A lot of times if I let people talk for a while and then they ask me what I am, I tell them I'm a pastor, they're like, oops. Right. They're afraid of what they quickly go through everything they said, and they get totally uncomfortable sure. about their talking to me.
So what we have is somebody says, what do you do for a living? And you tag that with something spiritual. This can apply to anyone. I'm a nurse. I really like to be able to show the love of Jesus to people who are hurting. Mm-hmm. So what do? You put the ball right back in their court. All you've done is you've connected yourself with Christ in a very unassuming but incredibly meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And this can apply to any situation. You can take it to what you'd like to do for fun. I am a doctor, and I really like going on Wednesday nights. I'm part of this club where we teach little kids about what Jesus has done for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like taking it and putting something spiritual attached to it. And this is something that it sounds like it could be kind of cheesy, but it's really, really impactful. Or when someone says, even more simple than that, when someone says, how are you? Good. I'm really enjoying the fact that God is just showing me how much love I can feel as a parent. It's just like a simple, it lets people in, which develops awesome relationships for the future, witnessing going deeper, and just says some tiny little thing. But in that moment, if you try to like manufacture something spiritual and you're not prepared, it's going to be weird. Okay? When someone, you say, how are you? And somebody seriously overshares, isn't that kind of like a weird moment? Where like, I just wanted you to say, good, how are you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Because we have to be aware. That's why the second part of the verse, with gentleness and respect, comes into place. Right. But really, those are just basic human interactions.
Right, and another basic human interaction is almost all of us go to the grocery store, right?
No.
Well, some.
If I have to.
Many, yeah,
I
try to get out of it as much as possible.
Do. And there was a season in our life as a youth pastor's wife, camp director, all of that, where I would have the weirdest cartloads of groceries known to man, you know, like 73 liter bottles of Coke, you know, or something like that. Whatever it is, I'm putting...
73 liter bottles? It's really, sorry.
Yeah.
See, the problem is we all like to talk. We got to keep moving. All right.
Whatever it is that I'm putting up there, I can guarantee you that I'm going to get a question or a statement. Usually it's like, oh, somebody's having a party, you know, with all the pizza or whatever. And so I know that that's coming. Or what are you going to do with all that shaving cream? So I know it's coming. Every single week it came. Every single week. So I developed a pattern. I observed it, and I developed a pattern. And I would say, well, actually, we have this camp, and we tell kids about Jesus and how he loves them, and he gave his life for them. And we eat a ton of really good food and smear shaving cream all over each other in a game. That sounded weird together. Okay, shaving cream battle. Okay, anyway. But it's a regular thing where somebody basically opens the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was, and in the same situation, people ask, you know, what'd you do over the summer? What are you doing for the summer? Well, I work at a summer camp where we get a chance to share Jesus Christ with 600 kids a year. And it's just a simple little thing. It's not, they're not going to fall down and repent at that. But what it is opens the door. And some people will say, well, come on in, let's talk about that. Like, what camp, and what do you mean by this? And most people just listen to it, but like Bob said, we identify ourselves in the same sentence with Jesus Christ. It works out really good. Another thing that I like that I do, did you ever hear anybody misquote the Bible? Did you ever hear anybody misquote, do unto others before they do unto you, or something like that? Or, oh, that's my misquote, all right. But sometimes people misquote the Bible, and just when they, it doesn't always have to you bring it up, but when they misquote a Bible, I think that's an in. You know, I don't always know what the quote is, but I know it's not what they said. And I said, you know, I don't think the Bible says that. What the Bible says is this, you know, and just tell them what the Bible says. But it's an in that I know a little bit about scriptures, that I'm just opening the door, not just letting that quote go past. I'm opening that door to go to maybe they'll go a little bit deeper.
And the thing about that one is that
you wouldn't use that and just overhearing somebody behind you say something and turn around and be like, now that you said that, that's more like less just for everybody, and that's more of like a relational or like a conversational in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know this person. You know, and then that gives so many more opportunities in that, like, relational ends. There's some that I really like to identify. And, like, remember, these are just kind of like our personalities and also the kind of people that we end up talking to. But, like, one of the ones that I get a lot is I watch for any time somebody is mentioned something about morality, about right or wrong, about the current religious, political, economic society that we live in terms of something that's right or wrong. And this happens a lot. People are talking all over the place about, you know, issues of morality. So as soon as I hear that, I think of that as an in. And my strategy for that is so cool because it really takes the pressure off me, and I think it really gives glory to God. So what I do is when somebody mentions an issue of morality in terms of conversation, the exact words that I say are, you got to understand something about me. I believe that God is, and everything he says is true. That's how I see the world. And so I don't really have an opinion about that. God said that homosexuality is not best for us, and he said it was a sin, so that's my opinion. God's opinion is my opinion. My strategy there is I don't have an opinion. I'm going to defer to him in every way. And this is really cool because it adds a lot of credibility to what we say. We identify ourselves with Christ. We speak the truth. And it's not in an attacky way. Because who cares what you think? Mm-hmm. What does it matter in the scheme of anything what you think about moral issues? It's only based on how you feel. So all that I'm saying is when I hear a moral issue, I'm just going to be like, all I know is that I believe Jesus. He said that this is how it is, and I trust him. And if people are offended by that, I mean, that's okay because we've spoken the truth, but it's in a gentle and respectful way.
Did that ever happen in a unusual situation?
Oh, yeah, lots of...
delivery?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for... This is my example.
Like delivery? So, yeah.
Like the next point on your notes? This is... So when my son Jack was being in the process of being born, Abby was actually in the middle of getting an epidural, and the anesthesiologist found out that I was a pastor and started trying to trap me with all these, like, weird moral questions. One, it's just not the time. It's just... Abby was pretty annoyed because there's this giant needle there. And he's like, so if two gay people came to your church, what would you do? Well, I know what he's trying to... I know that he's looking to start some kind of fight. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to defer it to Christ. You got to understand something about me. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that God knows what he's talking about. And he said it's not best, and it's a sin. However, church is not about people being perfect. It's about people being saved. So the first thing I would ask them is, are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. And if they said no, I would be like, welcome, I'd love to tell you about him. And if they said yes, I would be like, let's talk about how you can act more like him. And he was like, oh. But you know what? I mean, like, I took it further because he was looking for that. But I could have just said the basic thing of, I defer to Christ. His opinion is my opinion, proudly. Yeah. Proudly.
Now, it's interesting. His generation are thinkers. They talk about deep spiritual moral issues. Our generation, we're just surfacey. We don't think. But
that's not true.
Just kidding. I know. I know. He didn't say that. I know that. But well, maybe I'll stick to me. One of my favorite ends my whole life, ever since I started driving, has been, what? My mic turned off.
Yeah.
Okay, well, until it gets, okay. So, what, okay, so, do I got to start with his generation again?
No.
Okay, good. One of the things that I have always used, ever since I started driving, was pickup hitchhikers. I love to pick up hitchhikers. I still do once in a while if I see them coming down off the Appalachian Trail or something like that. But I picked up hitchhikers all the time. It was just something fun, very, very safe to do. So all you young ladies, don't worry about it. It's not a problem.
But
used to pick up hitchhikers all the time. But see, that became the pattern, because you get in and people say, oh, it's so hard getting a ride anymore, you know, and they're out hitchhiking, no one's picking them up. And the later, you know, the closer to this generation, it got harder and harder to do. So we would just, I thought, well, I want to share Jesus Christ with these guys, because they're trapped in the car. If they try to get out, it'll just go faster. And so I got them there. But I needed an end to Christ. I didn't want to just start preaching to them. So my absolute pattern would, and depends on what they would say, is the which two directions that I would go. I would get in. They'd say, oh, thanks for picking me up. Where are you going? We're going here. I said, it's hard to get a ride these days, isn't it? Or else they would say, it's so hard to get a ride these days. And then I would come back with, yeah, everybody thinks you're going to kill them or mug them or something like that. And normally they would say, you don't have to worry about me. It's okay. If they didn't say that, I was worried about them, you know? But they would normally say,
to start to snicker.
Yeah. I'd start reaching under my seat. But, you know, or whatever, it would go like that. And so it's really hard to get around. Everybody thinks you're going to. And I would say, listen, I'm not really worried about it. I like to pick up the hitchhikers. I'm not really worried about it. If I get killed, I know instantly I'll be in the presence of God. I'll be living with God forever. And it's like all the time I went there. All the time I went there. And pick up a hitchhiker, it's like, here we go again, you know? And I wasn't preaching. I wasn't being, you know, and I wasn't even a preacher back then. I was just saying, it gives me an in. And the conversation after that was really, really cool. Normally, it was really exciting, because they would say, I don't have to worry about it. Or they would say, how do you know that? Or they would say, nothing, okay? And, you know, it was just a really, really good time. So I finished that story then, and I know it goes a little bit farther, but every once in a while, so what we're doing is just saying an in. The in and the pattern with the in. The in was they got in my car. I had an open door. I'm going to share. So I knew what question to ask, and this was, I was asking a question that would give them an in response, and then I'd just share just a one sentence about Jesus Christ. And it went all kinds of different ways. My funniest time ever, I might have told you about it before, was I picked up a guy. I was coming either in the turnpike, or I was coming down 283, or we're getting close to Harrisburg. And somewhere along at Harrisburg, I picked up a guy who was hitchhiking out by the highway, which he's not supposed to do. And I let him in, and he gets in, and he just sits down. And he said, oh. And first of all, where are you going? And we did all that kind of stuff. And he said, oh, I've had such a hard day. After I went with my pattern, I've had such a hard day. I said, so what was your day like? What happened? It's so hard. He said, oh, I was out drinking till really late at night. And this was kind of like in the middle of the night kind of thing. I was out drinking till really late, and I met this woman. I took her to a motel and found out she was a man. And he was like, he ran out of the motel, you know. He was scared to death, and that's when I picked him up. You know, he's running from this man woman. And because of that, he said, what do I do in those situations? We got this little conversation going about his day. I ended up, when I had to lay him off, we pulled over beside the road, and he was ready to get out. And he just sat there. I went through the gospel presentation with him. And he never accepted the Lord or anything, but he heard the gospel. See, that's where an in is. So what happened in this whole process? The in is when they come to the door, you know, and say, I want to hear something. And then you step through that, you see that open door, that circumstance where I can say, I didn't have to think, oh, what am I going to tell this guy? Is this a hitchhiker or what? I just knew what I was going to say. I was going to say the whole thing. And every once in a while, someone would say, they would open the door and say, come on in farther. And so you go into their living room, and the conversation was like, it's like, come on down and sit down on the rocking chair, and can we have a conversation? And you don't have to worry about it going that far. For one thing, you are responsible for just the beginning. After that, when God says it's ready and you get to the beginning, after that, God sits down beside you and said, be quiet, let me speak through you. And it'll just lead you into what to say. Don't worry. Don't fear what they're going to think. Don't worry what they're going to say. Just listen to me. And just, God brought them in your life. He was calling them and drawing them. The door was open. God wanted you to be there. He knew a million years ago you were going to be in that situation. And he designed you for that situation. So don't think I'm not going to know enough. If you don't know the answer, you don't know. But it's just, that was doesn't always happen that way. All right. That one time it did. It's just really cool when that happens.
How about Joe?
Joe. Oh, Joe. Joe was a guy that...
My role is to remind each person of their story in case you didn't catch on to that.
She, you watch her mouth while I speak. She probably does the word. But what I had that pattern. It's not a big deal pattern. Okay, I found myself in that situation all the time. You're just looking for something. You find yourself in a situation all the time.
So seek out danger.
Yeah, to go boldly go where no man has gone before. Yes, but so once I had that pattern in my mind, it comes in different places. I remember sitting, and I used to be in construction. I was sitting in this apartment building up in the second or third floor window. I had the window open. I was sitting on the windowsill holding my feet on with my hands scraping paint off the, you know, it was before the real sash was tilted in, you know, scraping paint off of there. And a guy across the street, a big city guy, come over, and he comes walking into the apartment, and he opens up and says, Bob, because I just knew him from talking to him on the street, said, aren't you afraid you're going to fall out that window? Because he would have been scared of all kind of stuff like that. And I said, no. I said, I know if I fall and die, I'm going to heaven anyway. And he gave me this weird look, you know. And the weird look was, how do you know that? And it's like, wow, this is like a 35-year-old guy. And he's saying, all I did was just my end. The same end, the same pattern I use everywhere else. How do you know that's going to happen? You know, and well, I said, because I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I know God loved me and died for me. And he said, oh, that's interesting. That's like, you know. And anyway, made some small talk, and he turned to leave. And as he was walking out the door, and this is, there's a lot of times nothing happens at all. And so you don't expect it to happen. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. You're just saying, I'm available. And so he went to walk out the door, and I got this feeling like, I got to take this a little farther than this. Just that pattern wasn't cutting it in that case. I said, Joe, I said, come here once. I want to tell you. You want to know why I'm not afraid? And my dad heard what was going on. He was in the room, and he went out, and he started praying in another room. And so I sat down, and I said, I explained the gospel to him in a real simple terms as I could, you know, and this is why I'm not afraid. And God offers that, makes that offer to anybody. And these are things we're going to go over in the next 2 weeks. God makes that offer to anybody. And he said, I'd like that, because I'm afraid of everything. I come from a background where I'm afraid to sleep at night. Someone's going to break into my house and shoot me. And I'd like that. I'm like, oh, wow. Didn't expect that from a third. I expected that from like a kindergarten or something, you know. So you know, God goes to hell. No, he doesn't, but you know, you might. But anyway. And so he said, I'd like that. I said, oh, great. Do you want to pray and tell God that? He said, yeah. Can we kneel down? And so we knelt down there in the apartment. He accepted the Lord as a Savior. It was like, but it was the end that got me there. It was that pattern that got me there. I probably wouldn't have got there for a long, long time. But it's just, you don't know where this is going to take. You're just making the tagline, like Bob said, hello, I'm a Christ follower. I believe in Jesus Christ. And you just walk in a little bit. And if they invite you in, see, that's courtesy. Then you go in. If they bite you a little farther, go a little farther. Don't break the door in and point your finger and get into this big gospel thing, okay? But if they ask you there, oh, what a cool opportunity that is.
What were you saying? Okay.
Is it me or you?
It is. It's me.
It's whoever wants to.
Can I just
add one more?
Well, I was thinking like the baseline of that with that little, even that small amount of relationship that he had, he was able to kind of like address the uncertainty. You know, that's what it was that made Joe want to ask that question.
Right.
And the in was to kind of identify the uncertainty and then provide certainty, you know?
Right.
So that's what happened. But like one of the things that another cool one in just conversation along that same line is current events. And really, if you talk about current events at all, the real big theme is uncertainty. People are always shooting other people somewhere, you know? And people talk about that stuff. What happens in the news? That is an in right there.
Fear.
Yeah, the fear and anxiety in current events, or just current events in general, when people talk about how people treat other people. And the strategy there is to make it personal. When I was talking to a couple recently who was expressing, as a lot of us have, just outrage at human nature, that people would go into a pizza shop and just shoot a bunch of other people. And you know what? How do we respond to that in a way that is a witness? Make it personal. Because who can disagree when I say it's deeply disturbing? It reminds me how important it is for me to follow the example of Jesus in showing respect to the people around me. And what do people will always say? Hear, hear. Who can disagree with that? Because that is the message of Jesus, to love each other. Is that not his truth? So we have such an application there. But it's so easy to just sort of complain about it or to just like, you know, add to that like, yeah, everything's terrible. The world's falling apart. But not to preach, but just to say, it reminds me what my part is, you know.
Right. And so what you're kind of here today is that because we are in different generations and we have different personalities, God's going to use us in different ways. Somehow, I'm not sure why, but God uses me in a totally different way. And it's more of an emotional connection, and not always just with people I know, but with strangers. And it sounds like I spend my whole life in a grocery store, but all my examples are grocery stores. But if I'm standing behind in a line behind a mom who's struggling with young children and she looks frazzled, I can either ignore her or I can use that as an opportunity to offer her hope. And that's what we're looking about. And so when I go into the grocery store, I'm more than about saving money and getting food. I'm about looking for people. And so I can say, wow, this is a hard season, isn't it? It's tough what you're doing. Can I help you put your groceries up? I'm just standing here anyway, right? And then I can say, hey, you don't have to do this alone. I'm not thinking of this for the first time. It's a pattern. You don't have to do this alone. There's this place you can come to MOPS, pull out a card, hand her a card about MOPS, and you can come get support, but also there's a God that loves you and that wants to help you in this really difficult season. Sometimes it happens in the dairy aisle. I think people must be stressed out by the time they get to the milk section or something. Because so many times you can...
I have no idea where the milk section is.
So many reasons why not to go to the grocery store.
You can see distress on different ages of women. I have had them open their soul to me just by saying, are you okay? They're struggling and it's written all over their face, are you okay? And they'll just like say, oh, you want to listen? And I open the door. And I can give them the reason for the hope that I have. Just in one sentence, you know what? I know it's hard, but God loves you so much, and he wants to give you freedom. You've got chains, there's a chain breaker. You know, now they didn't sing that song in church that morning, so I won't say that. But that's the truth that I want to share. Another place, and we so often, especially if you're the mother of young children and your last name is Hanovig, no, you might always be in the ER, you know, with a broken arm or a busted lip or something like that. Chances are there's people in that same waiting room who are going through major trauma in their lives. And that is an in, because they are looking for hope. They're looking for comfort. And we know the comforter. So what's my pattern? To walk across the room, sit down and say, I don't know the details of what's hurting you right now, but can I just pray for you?
And yeah, that costs something to do that. But that's where you have to determine how much is this worth to me to say this message.
And personally, I've never had anybody go, no, but you had a different story.
Yeah, I work in the realm of emotions myself. And I remember the last time I was in that realm of emotions, we were had an elders retreat from our church, and we were at a motel up in Chambersburg. And I come down one time, and there was a lady sitting in the soft part of the lobby, you know, over by the somewhere in lobby. And she was kind of by herself, and she was sitting over there crying and sobbing. I saw her, and I turned around, was going to go up, and it's like, look back, and she's crying and sobbing. And it just really moved me. And I went, I had the opportunity, a little bit of an in. I went over and sat down across from her, and I said, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm a pastor, and it looks like there's something bothering you. Would you like to talk about it? She said, no.
And so the reason that we share those two stories, that's the end of the story, is because it is the enemy's lie that tells you that's his job. Because in many ways, he has a disadvantage, not an advantage. And you have the advantage because you're just an ordinary person. So is he. It's just the title makes people think different, right? You are an ordinary person. And what all of these stories have in common is you pause long enough to listen and to hear what's really going on. You're not just listening to God, but you're going prepared to watch and to notice people and to see people. And you have the hope to offer them.
I had one of our young nurses come up to me after first service and said, you know, I really care for my patients. I really want to, you know, I feel like I'm there to help them. And they tell me about the problems, they, you know, the pain they're going through. And I just feel like, what do I have an in? You know, and it's like, I think you got an amazing in. And I've heard this before from a lot of nurses. At that point, before you leave the room, say, we've been talking about, I want you to know I'm a Christ follower. Would you mind if I prayed with you? And I don't think you do that too. You pray with your patients. And so you're identifying yourself as a Christ follower. Then you're asking permission to pray with them. And I've talked to people that nurses have prayed with them that are just, you know, so we have that opportunity all the time. Nurses have, every profession has its own kind of certain circumstances. Every friendship has that. Whether you're a mother, whether you work, it's just like.
Well, and some of it might not be quite as obvious, but like, let's say you work in construction and you have chosen to do good work as unto the Lord. When someone recognizes the good work, then identify it as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy to be able to do this.
Yeah.
For the Lord.
Not that this ever happens in Pine Grove, but you find someone caught in the middle of a water running across the road or something like that. And I blew it this last flood, but most all the time, whenever I help anybody along the road or change a tire, they thank me, want to pay me. No, I'm just glad to, I just want you to know that there are Christ followers in this world that care. I don't identify myself, but just that, that's an in, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're looking at. I shouldn't say this, but I am quick to stop at a car accident. And a lot of times in my life, I've gotten there first. Someone laying in the road, someone bleeding, someone trapped in a car or something. I get there first. I love just sitting with them. And I did this way before I was ever a pastor, and just sit with them. And you kind of just look at them and say, you know, you're about to die. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?
He's kidding. He never did that.
No, I don't do that. But people are really open.
Shocked faces.
People are really open at that moment to, you mind if I pray with you? You don't have to be a pastor to do that. And people are really moved by that. It opens up other conversations, whether serious or not. One of the places I find myself that, you know, now some conversations can be brought to you. And this is the last example, and then I've got to close. But Vicky and I, when we go on vacation, a lot, as much as possible. We like to go on vacation. One of the places we like to go is on a cruise. And when a lot of times the people that work in the cruise, there's a lot of people from other countries, a lot of Muslims that work on a cruise ship. And you get to know them by sitting at their table, by seeing them and stuff like that.
By talking to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's
by acknowledging that they exist.
Yeah, right. They're not a commodity. They're a person created in the image of God. And it doesn't matter if they're from Indonesia, you see them.
No, we don't spend our vacation with them, but every time at the table, we're seeing them in the hallway, and then they have pictures of their family and stuff, and they like to talk about that. And I get into a lot of conversations with Muslims, and I get into that because they a lot of times they'll just take it right there. I'm a Muslim, and I say, really? That's great. Like, what do you guys believe? You know, and then it's interesting to hear them express how some are just really knowledgeable and some aren't any more knowledgeable than a brand new believer in Christ. But they say what they believe and stuff. And a lot of times then I follow up with just a question. I said, so what happens when you die? You know, where do you go when you die? And I'm talking to the one guy, and he's like, well, we believe that if we did this and that and everything, then maybe we'll get there. And the maybe we'll get there, maybe we'll get to heaven if I was, you know, if we've done enough or whatever. And I take it from there to say, you know what? Is that scary to die under those circumstances? Because, see, I'm a Christ follower. I introduce myself as a Christ follower then. And this is what Jesus says, you know, that I know for a fact that because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, I can have eternal life. And just use a little verse like John 3:16 or something like that. It leads to some really cool places. I never had any of them repent. You know, I never turned Muslim. But the conversation was, I thought we'd introduce them to the certainty that you can have
when you die. So these are some ends, and we're going to get into how to go a little bit farther and where you can go as you have an end, as you have a pattern. But just, are you guys, anything else to say before I get, before I close? Okay, I have about another half an hour of closing statements I'd like to make in my witnessing program, my testimonies. I want you to understand that they're up here because I didn't want to do this all myself because they'd just be my personality examples, okay? And a lot of you guys share Jesus Christ. You have ends, and we're just putting names to it, okay? We're just putting names to it. We're saying learn a pattern because that makes it a lot easier because I don't think well right on the spot. I need to at least get into it a little bit by things that I know. A lot of you guys could have been up here sharing examples that you have. I've heard examples. After last service, I heard some amazing examples last week that people shared with me that they had. So it's not that we are doing the job and you aren't. I just think we all need to step up our game because it's getting close to the end. You know, and if not the end, we're getting close to the end of our life, and we need to make our lives count. And so all we're doing is saying, God, I'm going to walk up to this door, and if you open it, I'm going to go in, and if they open it further, I'm going to go in. So this is kind of the beginning of what we want to do. But I sent you home the first week saying you need to pray for people because we need to know who our struggle is against. It's against the demonic forces and Satan in this realm. We need to pray. We need to not only pray, we need to listen to what we need to understand that we need to be kind people and stuff, but we need to listen to when God says now, okay? And that's what I sent you home with last week. Listen to God in your quiet time. Start saying, God, who do you want me to share with? Who could I possibly someday share with? Listen to God. Now, if I want to add to that this week, what I'd like you to do is send you home with a couple other things. We listen to God. That's you pray, you listen to God. That's the first steps because you want to be getting in where God's already working. But I want you to listen to people. You're listening for ends. This week, you're not allowed to witness or share Christ this week, okay? If someone asks you for the reason that you hope, for the hope that you have, don't tell them. Say, you got to wait till the pastor talks next week. I'll see you Monday morning, okay? No, you can go that way. But I want you to listen to people. Specifically say, I've been listening to God. Now I want to listen for all the people around you that you're with. Listen at work all one whole day and see how many ends you could have had. In school, yeah, how many ends you could have. In class, anywhere. In the friendships, on the sports team, at home, around the place. Listen to the gas stations in the dairy aisle. Don't run into her. But listen for the ends you could have and write them down. At least jot them in your mind so that when you're in your quiet time, you can think, okay, now if I hear that again, which I will because I've heard it 3 times this week, what could I say next? That's where you come up with a pattern, okay? So listen to the ends and start thinking, what pattern, what one sentence, what tagline do I have that I can open up the door that me and Jesus are kind of on the same page, that I'm not ashamed to be a Christ follower, okay? So I want you to listen to people, especially like your target people. Now, when I say listen to people, stop with all the follow-up about yourself. This is my pet peeve with people, okay? Did you ever talk to someone, they had this story, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me, I did this and this and this and this. And the whole time you're telling a story, you know they're thinking of, but I have a better story than that. And as soon as you get done, they don't even say, wow. They just say, well, I did one time, my aunt had this like explosion in her earlobe, you know, or something like this. And you just go into your story. Stop with all the follow-up. Listen to what people are saying. Listen on purpose to what they're saying and don't have to feel like you have to tell them about yourself and your stories and the things that are happening in your life. Stop with all the follow-up about yourself. You are listening for ends to be able to share the gospel because you are living for the truth of the Word of God. And it is a pleasure to be able to share that. So listen to people. Listen for their questions. Listen for their questions and the thing they say. Listen for questions that you could ask them that might open a door. Listen for their questions. Watch their circumstances. Watch their circumstances. They're people you're going to know, and you know what happened in their life, and to say, you know what? I know what's going on in your life, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Would you mind if I prayed with you right now in the break room, in the hallway? And you're creating opportunities. So listen to them. listen to their questions and listen for their questions. Watch their circumstances. Watch their mood. Watch their mood. Some people, they're always one way and then they come into work and they're another way, or some of your friends are another way, and say, what just, you seem frustrated today. You seem upset today. Is there anything I can help you with? Oh, they defriended you? No. I guess for some people that's a big deal, you know. But you can figure out a way to make that an end to sharing the gospel with them. And then you watch their moods, read their faces. Sorry about another pet peeve I have. Sometimes I come to church and people walk up to me and say, you look really tired today. It's like, well, thank you. That's quite a compliment. I'll put on a smile now, you know. You know, just watch their moods. Watch their face. A lot of times, is there a little tear? Have they been crying? Have they been frustrated? Is stuff going on in your life? So here's what I'd like you to do this week. Listen to people. Listen for their questions. Watch their circumstances. Watch their mood. And read their faces. And then go home and say, God, out of all these people that I've been watching today, do I have any ins? And the next time they're like this, and the next time I hear this question, and the next time I hear this comment, and the next time they ask me this, what in could I use that just opens the door a little bit? And if it goes farther than that, I'm not going to kick the door the rest of the way and burst in and say, I'm here in your living room to tell you about Jesus. No, but what pattern could you use if you have two sentences to share? And so when you hear the end, you're not thinking, what am I going to say? You say, you just know what you're going to say. Train yourself to bring it out. And if it goes farther than that, train yourself with some different patterns and stuff. And if you are fortunate enough that God uses you, okay, let me say something. Let me say one more thing. What is success in ends and witnessing patterns? How do you know you're successful? What's that? Obedience. What if they don't accept Christ? What if they don't kneel down in the apartment building? As success in ends and patterns are your obedience to God. That when they open that door, you walk in as far as you're welcome. You walk in. Isn't that what you would want people to do for you? And that's all you do. It's not the closing the deal. This isn't a sales pitch. It's, are you being obedient to Christ? I know most of you guys want to do this. I know you do. And so we're trying to give you some easy ways. It's not as hard as you think. You come up with some ends. You get a pattern just in case. And next week we'll tell you how to follow up on that, all right? But a lot of you guys already know. I'm saying just think through it this week. Think through it this week. And get excited about what God's going to bring into your life. Because if you're not prepared, God's not going to bring a whole lot of that into your life because your brain is on a different wavelength. But see, if we're living for eternity and we have eternity eyes when we go about our life, there's going to be a huge things that are going to happen in your life. I look back in some of these things. I forgot so many of them. It's just like, but I go away thinking, I tried and I'm successful. And God's like, way to go, Bob. That was kind of corny, but you did it. You know, you tried. So listen to people. Listen for their questions and to their questions. Watch their circumstances, watch their mood, and read their faces this week. And you're going to see what God's going to do, no matter what age you are. I'm telling you the truth. God, you're an amazing God. You gave us a whole book of truth. Answers every question that we need to answer. And a lot of us don't know it all. But God, we know a little bit. And I pray that we might look for these ends and develop these patterns that the next time they come around, we can just go that direction. Make us in to witnessing, sharing our testimony, Christ followers. Thank you so much that you were right there with us saying, now's the time. You're a great God. Help us to just thrive on stacking chairs. In Jesus' name, amen.